What a delight to have you join us for an uplifting word today. Before Dolores and I share the word with you, let me mention that we conduct marriage seminars. One is called Building a Companionship Marriage. The other is Achieving a Harmonious Marriage. This presentation this morning is one of the sessions of our Building a Companionship Marriage seminar. We also have this session on DVD. If you would like to order one, they're $15. We'd be glad to share it with you. This morning we want to share with you praising your spouse. Praising your spouse. Dee and I pastored in a naval town once, and lots of Navy people attended our church, and one day a young man called me from the Naval Air Station. He said, "Pastor, can I come by after work and talk with you?" I said, "Of course, Jim, come on by." Well, about 4:30, 5 o'clock that afternoon, Jim stopped in. I could tell he was really upset. He sat down in my office and said, "Pastor, I'm leaving Karen." I was taken aback, and I said, "Jim, what happened? Why are you wanting to leave her?" He said, "Pastor, my job is a high-stress job. All day long, I'm under this great time pressure. People scream at me to hurry, hurry, hurry. We've got to produce our quota of Navy products." Well, all day long it's like that, Pastor. Then I go home and the house is a wreck. Karen's unkept. The children are needing attention. There's no supper on the table. Pastor, it's just going from one stress level to another. I said, "Well, Jim, what do you do whenever you go home and things are bad like you're describing?" He says, "Well, I just tell Karen how bad a wife she is. I just bawl her out, basically." And I said, "Jim, let's talk about the effect of your words, the effect of our words." And I took him to some scriptures in Proverbs. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18. Here the scripture says,
"Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing."
"Jim," I said, "this scripture says that reckless words pierce like a sword. And so whenever you go home and bawl Karen out and tell her how bad a wife she is, you're piercing her spirit." Then I took him to Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1.
"A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger."
You see, our words affect other people, either positively or negatively. Listen to this wonderful verse from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24.
"Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones."
Pleasant words are a honeycomb. Can you imagine anything sweeter? Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So I said, "Jim, your words are making things much worse between you and Karen." And he began to rant and rave some more about Karen. I said, "Now, wait a minute, Jim. Here is a large book on my desk, a dictionary. Here is a concordance, a Bible Strong's Concordance. Let's, in your imagination, Jim, put a big N on this dictionary. N stands for negative. And on this concordance, let's imagine there's a great big letter P for positive or praise. Now, Jim, I want you to remove the N book, the negative, from my desk without ever touching it." He sat there a moment and said, "Pastor, I don't know how to do it." I said, "Jim, you take hold of this book with the imaginary P for praise. You put it against the negative book, and you push on the praise, and it removes the negative from the desk." You remove the negative through praise, not by nagging. And then I took him to a very important verse. Please read Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 28. It talks about a husband here and says,
Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her.
The husband, it says, praises the wife. I said, Jim, right here, it shows us how to treat our spouse. We treat them with praise, not nagging. Remember? We remove the negative by taking hold of the positive. So I said, Jim, here's a piece of paper. I want you to start listing everything you can praise Karen about. He said, there's nothing, Pastor. I said, Jim, why did you marry her? And he began to tell me. And I said, okay, let's write these down. And he listed four or five things he could praise about Karen. And I said, Jim, please, you've got to promise me that when you go home and the house is a wreck, Karen's unkept, the children need attention, that you're not going to nag her. You're not going to point out all her faults. He said, okay, Pastor, I'll try it. And he left. Well, after prayer, he left. A few days later, my office phone rang. I picked it up. And this person said, what did you do to my husband? Well, I knew it was Karen. It was a small church of maybe 60, and I knew most people's voices. And I said, Karen, I didn't do anything to him. We just talked about the scriptures. She said, he's changed, Pastor. He actually helped me clean the kitchen up the other night. Well, to make a long story short, they stayed together. The Lars and I visited their home a couple of times before the Navy moved them on to their next station, and it was always a spick-and-span home. Well, I want to share with you today some insight in becoming a praiser of your spouse. Well, the first thing we do to become a praiser of our spouse is overcome fear of praising them. We want to overcome fear of praising our spouse. Let's read from Job chapter 1, verse number 8. And notice what the scripture says.
Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil.
Listen to that. God was praising Job. He was pointing out all of Job's strong points. Now, maybe we never think about God praising us, but he does. Listen to this, please. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 23. Here the scripture declares.
His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things.
Here the master's again praising or bragging on this servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then there's a very important verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5. We're going to read the whole verse, but we want to point out the last phrase. Here the Bible says,
therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God.
This scripture is describing what we refer to as the judgment seat. And ordinarily we think of the negative. But look at the last phrase of the verse. It says, each of us will receive praise from God. God's a praiser of his people. He's not afraid to praise us. He's not afraid to point out our strong points. In fact, I imagine at the judgment, the Lord is going to brag with all his heart on each of us just to rub it in to the devil and all his demonic hordes who tried tempting us. So if God can praise us, surely we can give thanks and express gratitude to one another. So we have to overcome our reluctance to praise our spouse. Well, secondly, we want to give attention to motivating our spouse. Very important scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Here it says,
let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds.
Let us consider, let us think about something. And then he tells us what to think about. Let us consider how to spur or stimulate others to love and good works. So you see, brother, sister, we are to consider ourselves as motivators. We are to motivate our brothers and sisters to love and good works. But especially, we are in this life to motivate our spouse to love and good works. And you'll never do it with ridicule. We want to reject the use of ridicule, which is so common in our entertainment today. You see, ridicule makes others an object of laughter. And we don't want to ever do that. That will never accomplish anything good in your relationship with your husband or your wife. We want to give attention to motivating them to love and good works. And that's what praise does. Saying thank you. Being grateful. Noticing the small things they do for us, as well as the large. And saying with our mouth, thank you. I appreciate you. You are wonderful. I'm so glad you're mine. Praise is not an attempt to manipulate others. It's not an attempt to manipulate our spouse and cause them to do things our ways so we can gain advantage over them. No, not at all. Now let me give you an illustration of praise that tries to manipulate. One time, this mother with her two little boys was in the kitchen. She had prepared breakfast, but she found that she only had enough pancake mix for one pancake. So she thought, well, I'll just teach them a Christian lesson. So she said, boys, I can only have one pancake for you this morning. Immediately, the three-year-old and the five-year-old said, well, I'll get it. I'll take it. The mother said, well, what would Jesus do? Well, both the little boys agreed that he would give it to his brother. And then the five-year-old perked up with a big smile on his face and looked at his little brother and said, hey, let's play Jesus and you be Jesus. That's manipulation. That's not what we're doing. Praise is a sincere desire to motivate, to provide people with a reason for acting. So we want to help our spouse become motivated for doing their job, for taking care of the responsibilities. We want to motivate them by praise and never use ridicule. The Bible's full of God promising reward to us. Why? Because He's motivating us with the promise of reward. Praise for another builds their self-appreciation, their self-love. Yes, brother, sister, Christians are to respect and appreciate and love themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. Not a worldly self-absorption, but a true appreciation for ourselves as creatures made by God. So praising your spouse builds their self-love, and then self-love frees them to love you more. Let's read the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 22. Verse number 39.
And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Your love for your neighbor, your spouse, your children, your boss, it will rise no higher than your love for yourself. That's why Jesus said, love others as you love yourself. When I was a little child, my family had a pet dog. It was small, totally black. It was basically a part of the family. My folks had raised it on one of my sister's baby bottles, one of her doll bottles, and I guess it thought it was human. It was so compliant, so sweet, never tried attacking anyone. But one day my father backed out of the driveway to go to work, and the little dog had gotten out of the house and was laying under one of the tires. Of course, the animal yelped horribly when Dad backed over its hinder parts. Dad stopped the car, jumped out to try to find the dog and help it. The dog, though, had drug itself with its forelegs into the shrubs. Dad could hear it whimpering. He was frantically trying to locate the little pet. Well, finally, after parting the shrubs with his hands, he saw the little dog and reached down to pick it up, but it snarled and snapped at Dad. So unlike its character, this little compliant, sweet animal turned into a vicious dog. Why? because it was hurting. You see, whenever we hurt, we find it hard to love others. So your praise for your spouse can relieve their self-condemnation, their feelings of failure. You can elevate them in their own eyes. And then they will be freer to love you and everyone around them. Praise stimulates another's self-love. Then they are freer than ever to show love to everyone around them. You see, brother, sister, people rise to the level of your praise. Had Jim, my Navy friend, continued running Karen down, had he continued ridiculing her, mocking her, pointing out all her weak points, that marriage would have never lasted, because Karen would have sunk to the level of his negative remarks. But on the other hand, Jim began praising his wife, just like Proverbs 31:28 says, and she rose to the level of his praise. Dolores and I are scuba divers. Several years ago, we went to Cozumel, Mexico, and our plane arrived late in the afternoon, so there was no time to get tanks and all the equipment to go scuba diving. So we chose just to snorkel. Well, we put on these wetsuits. Now, a wetsuit is a neoprene rubber suit that keeps you warm, but it also makes you buoyant. Well, we put these suits on and we're swimming along in the water, looking at the bottom. It was only maybe 10 or 12 feet deep. Doris tapped me on the shoulder, and so I looked up from the water, and she said, "Do you see that big shell down there?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." She said, "Why don't you go ahead and dive for that shell and get it for me?" Now, I knew that I could not dive with that neoprene rubber wetsuit on. It made me so buoyant that I could not get under the water. I tried it many, many times. Doris didn't know what was going on in my mind. I was telling myself I could not dive for the shell. Unintentionally, she said, "Dive for that shell. You can do it." Now, when my wife said I could do it, I promise you, I was going to rise to the level of her praise. So I didn't tell her I couldn't. I took my three deep breaths, bent at the waist, lifted my fins in the air, and sunk under the water and began to swim harder than I ever swam in my life. Finally, I was able to dive, and I grasped that shell with both hands, quit kicking those fins, and popped to the surface. I'm surprised I didn't leave the water. I rose, literally, to the level of the Lord's praise. So, brother, sister, help your wife, help your husband become people who are motivated to love and good works. Motivate them with praise. Thirdly, we want to distinguish between our spouse's person and their performance. You see, God hates human sin. He hates our performance. But He loves human beings. For God so loved the world that He gave. We know the scripture. God so loved the world that He gave. And then listen to this verse. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. Here the Bible says,
God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
While we were sinners, Christ died for us. God hated our sin, but He loved us. So we have to treat our spouse the same way. We have to love their person, even when their performance, even when what they do or what they say is distasteful to us. Praise concentrates on your spouse's worth to God. Praise for our spouse concentrates on their value to God. You see, God regards our spouse as His property on loan to us. Our spouse doesn't belong to us. They're not our property. They are God's property. He gives to us for the years of this life on earth. Listen to what God said. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 14.
Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord.
The scripture points out that we can inherit houses and wealth from parents, but a wife, a prudent wife, comes from the Lord. That makes God the owner of our spouse, whether it be husband or wife. So you see, we want to praise our spouse. We want to praise them because they belong to God. They are God's. And so, we want to concentrate on our spouse as a person. We can disapprove of another's performance without attacking their person. That's so important in all relationships. We disapprove of another's performance, their actions, but we don't want to attack their person. We learn this from Jesus. One time, a group of religious leaders brought a lady to him, a lady who had been caught in the act of adultery. They said, "Jesus, the law of Moses says she should be stoned, but what do you say?" Listen to his comment. John chapter 8, verse number 11.
"No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin."
See? Jesus said, "Leave your sin." He disapproved of her sin. But he said, "I don't condemn you." He rebuked her sin, but not her person. So in all our relationships, we must learn that these people that God gives us, our children, our spouse, our parents, yes, they're not always perfect, and they don't always do things the way we wish, but they are God's priceless possessions. And we need to concentrate on praising them and even disapproving of them in ways that help them know that we love them. Praise appreciates another's effort, even if they fail. Brother, sister, please try your best to become a praiser of your spouse by distinguishing between their performance and their person, by becoming a person who motivates your spouse to love and good works, by becoming a husband or a wife who overcomes your fear of praising your spouse. In fact, we need to become generous with our verbal praise. Let's read again. Proverbs 31, verse number 28. Here it says, her husband praises her. We were in California. Dee and I were performing a marriage seminar in California. After going through this teaching on praising your spouse, the pastor told his whole congregation, "You know, my wife is a fabulous cook. She's a wonderful cook. And all our married life, I've eaten these great meals. And I figured that, well, since I ate them, that was thanks enough. But now I realize that I need to eat the meal and then verbally appreciate my wife and her cooking." In other words, he realized that he needed to become a man, a husband, who was generous with his praise. That's what we all want to strive to become. We want to eliminate from our lives and ourselves and our mouths and even our thinking those negative ideas, those ideas that if we just ridicule them enough, if we shame them enough, that they'll change and do better. No, they won't. So let's go to the Lord and let's ask Jesus for help in becoming the praisers of our spouse that will make them everything God wants them to be. Dearest Father, we love you, we thank you because you have determined to praise us at the judgment seat. Just like you bragged on Job, just like you predicted that the master would brag on his servant, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Father, now we want to become praisers of people, but especially of our family members. So Lord Jesus, touch us, I pray, by your precious Holy Spirit. Speak to us through your word. Even convict us, Lord, of the way we have torn people down with our words. Lord, show us how our reckless words have hurt others. Lord, give us victory, we pray, in your precious name, and make us adequate praisers of our spouses. In your name, Jesus, amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of this session, Dee and I conduct marriage seminars, and this Praising Your Spouse session is also on DVD. We would be glad to send you one. They're $15. You can send it to the address that the announcer gives you and request the Praising Your Spouse DVD. God bless.